Matthew chapter 19. I've been speaking to you on perfection for 3 weeks. It cannot be that I do not speak on perfection today. But perfection today is the ultimate perfection and universal. I could, if I wish, just read verses from Scripture. I will read several passages introducing you to ultimate and universal perfection, and then you may look at other verses. Tell us about it as well. So let's look at a few verses, starting in Matthew chapter 19. 27. Then asked Peter and said unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall we have? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has left houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit eternal life. But many shall be last at all first, and first at all last. Luke 1. Verse 31. This is Gabriel announcing the birth of the Savior. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 8. Love never faileth. But where that there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Notice, that which is perfect is come. So, ultimately, perfection is going to come. Now, Revelation 21, verse 1, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his peoples, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are passed away. Verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, and murderers, and fornicators, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. Their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Chapter 22. Look at verse 27 of chapter 21 first. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street thereof. And on this side of the river and on that was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no curse any more. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face. And his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be night no more. And they need no light of lamp, neither light of sun, for the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Ultimate perfection, universal perfection. Let us speak to God again in prayer. We thank you, Father, for the scriptures. Who could ever think of such things? We know that your spirit guided men, moved them, and these things that we've read this morning came through man by the Spirit of God, and we pray that we shall take them to heart. Who knows what tomorrow shall bring? You do, our God. And thou hast told us many things, and we desire to know more. And so help thy servant and your children who are here to be blessed. Thou dost know what is necessary. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. When we spoke of perfection, we found out that it was never realized in any man except Christ, and that in every area of his life and at every stage of his life there was perfection, progressive perfection. As a child, as a man, as a mature man, there was perfection at every stage and in every aspect. But the same is expected of us. But no human being has ever realized that perfection. Paul said, I haven't realized it. I've been trying for 25 years. He said, not that I am already made perfect or have laid hold on that for which God laid hold on me. He said, but I press on. So remember that. When you see these weaklings, these braggarts saying, I have sinless perfection. Well, just tell them, well, you are far beyond the Apostle Paul. He never realized it. He tried for 25 years. But while you and I, realizing that there is no perfection in this life, in us, it is our goal, it is our ideal, but even Paul could not attain it. But what I can promise you is this, that ultimately all of us who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ shall realize perfection. However, the perfection is not by your efforts. It is by the sudden coming of our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and we are. For this cause the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we God's children, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that if he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. That is the moment when you are going to be perfected. What is expected of you in Romans chapter 8? God is conforming us to the image of his Son. And here on earth, we try more and more to become like his Son, but we shall never fully arrive. But thank God for this. When the Lord Jesus comes back, at whatever progress we have made, however advanced we are, at that moment, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and our bodies and our natures shall be perfectly made conformed to the image of his Son. That is when the ultimate perfection shall be realized in the people of God. But when the Lord Jesus comes, there is going to be a millennium. And this is not perfection. It is a great advance beyond anything man has ever known. And man on earth at that time will think that he is in heaven, that there is perfection. But there is not perfection. At that time, we who have belonged to Christ, the body of Christ, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and our bodies and natures shall be such that we neither marry nor are given in marriage. There will never be any more childbearing by the church when Christ comes. But there is the people of God in the nation of Israel. And when the Lord Jesus comes, it says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced and mourn for him. And at that moment, that elect remnant of Israel that is on earth, remaining on earth, shall be transformed in such a way that though they are not like the church in their perfection, they have a body and they have desires and they have abilities that far surpass anything that man has known up until now. They will be able to have children. And for 1,000 years, the earth who began, the millennium that began, there was not one sinner on earth when the millennium began. But you have the converted Israelites. And what happens is this. They pass on to their children that fallen nature still. And after 1,000 years, Satan is able to be released from the bottomless pit and gather together a great army and come and fight against all of those that are devoted to Christ. But then, at that time, the Lord Jesus shall completely and utterly destroy all evidences and all uprisings of evil. And that is when perfection, ultimately and universal, will begin. Almost for 1,000 years, the earth has never experienced anything like it, but only when Satan is done away with, and when all the remaining sinners and sin in the world is done away with, only then will we have that ultimate and universal perfection. Understand this. When I read to you in Matthew 19, the Savior said, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This is going to take place during the millennium. But there is a time, the day of God begins, when God creates new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. during the millennium, righteousness reigns. But when God creates new heavens and new earth, the old universe is melted with fervent heat. At that time, all sin shall be done away, and then righteousness will dwell eternally in this new creation of God. You would think that in 6 days, God created everything that is before our eyes. But if I read it correctly, there was one thing that he did not create. There was no sin in man or in the world when God created the earth. But what happens is that sin arose. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. And so here is sin that is in the world. And when that happened, I take it that God made a new creation. He says in Matthew 25, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But to those that are goats on his left hand, he shall say, Depart, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And so there was something that was necessary for God to prepare after his first preparation for man. And listen to what he says concerning man and what he made for him at the first. God looked over everything that he had made, and he made this pronouncement, "Very good." But it was not perfection. But when it comes to the second creation, the new creation, there shall be perfection. That is why I read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, speaking about ourselves now. It says, "We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then shall we know perfectly, fully, even as also we were fully known." And so this is the perfection that God promises his own in the future. And I said that it is ultimately perfection, and it is universal perfection. And you say, well, why would God have to make everything, his entire universe, new? Because sin reached out that far into God's universe. The heavens are not clear, clean in his sight. And sin would reach to the very throne of God. And that was the intention of Satan. "I will be like the Most High God. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like God." And so with the sin of Satan, Lucifer, and with the sin of Adam, his whole universe was defiled. And this is what man cannot comprehend, because there is so much still of beauty in his universe, but it is defiled. It is like every man that is born of woman. The Calvinists call it total depravity. The word depravity never occurs in the Bible. But the word unclean, defilement is. And there was total defilement in the world. Everything that God had made was defiled to a greater or lesser degree. And God is not going to pass over those that were just a little defiled. But God is going to create new heavens and a new earth, and there will be two groups, and there are relegations to one group that is of God, that dwells in the new heaven and the new earth, and there is that which is not of God, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. Is it not sad that God, who only created good things at the first for his people at that time when sin entered into the world had to prepare the lake of fire for the devil and his angels and all of those who follow him. That is going to be their eternal destiny. And what is so sad is this. It seems that throughout eternity, it says the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. And it said that we come and look at them, those that would not have the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not come unto me that you may have life. He came and shed his precious blood that they might have life. He entreated them, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. But he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And there is only one place. It is without and within. It says, without are dogs and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and sorcerers. All of these are without. Now, let me tell you one thing that is humorous. At times, children come, and we love our animals, and they say, are there going to be animals in heaven? I love my animal. Will he be in heaven? Now, Bill McDonald answered it this way. He said, if you want them then, you may take them to heaven. Do you understand? If you want them then, you may take them to heaven. But I was just reading about the millennium, and it speaks about the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw as an ox. So you might not find them in heaven, but you'll find them on earth. And so, yes, you're going to have animals around. Isn't that remarkable? Because, and I could have read you this, and I want you to read it when you get home, in Romans chapter 8, it said, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain until now. And it said that they are looking forward to, they are hoping for, and expecting the millennium that is going to come, this change, because they were thrown into sin, not of their own volition. I was born a sinner, not of my own volition. Once I came into the world, many sins of my own volition. But the creation finding itself in a sinful condition, and one animal attacking another and feeding upon it and killing it, all of those things were not the intention of God. But in the coming day, it said, the whole creation, it is travailing together in pain with us until now, and they're looking forward to what is known in the Bible as the regeneration or the restitution of all things. You'll find that mentioned in Acts chapter 3. And that is when this creation that has been expecting deliverance is going to realize that deliverance. And at that time, serpents, how many of us are not afraid of serpents? Some are not afraid. But I heard just recently that one man had this pet serpent, and he put in his hand, and it bit him, and he was dead in 12 minutes. But it said, in the coming day, all of the serpents shall not hurt anybody that walks upon them. And none of the animals will be ferocious or vicious anymore. You may read about that in Isaiah 2, and you may read about of the millennium and eternity in Isaiah 65 and 66. And this, the millennium is so much like the eternal that at times you do not know whether God is speaking about the millennium or about eternity. It's like this, the Lord's Supper that we partook of this morning. Do you realize that the Passover and the Lord's Supper dovetailed to such a degree? I remember in Bible school that one of the students got up and was reading about the Passover in the New Testament, And he thought he was reading about the Lord's Supper, because the two dovetail. And in like manner, you have this millennium, and it is so glorious, and Christ is there, and the redeemed, glorified saints are there, and you would think that you were in the eternal state, the new heavens and the new earth, but you aren't. And alas, the Word of God is written in such a way that it will go from one to the other without having any pause, and you have to have spiritual discernment and ability to interpret the scriptures to know when one begins and when the other one ends. It is something, as it says in Hebrews 5, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil and to discern the millennial state from the eternal state. But what I promise you is this, that the millennium is going to come. And Jesus, who was rejected on earth, shall reign on earth. He shall sit upon the throne of his father David, and for 1,000 years he shall reign on earth with his saints. But after that, I purposely read to you in Luke chapter 1 that of the increase of his kingdom there shall be no end. And it's speaking about the nation of Israel there, and there will be other nations on earth as well. And so we have the Lord Jesus as king for 1,000 years in a special way, and then king again in a special way in eternity. But if I read the Word of God correctly, man shall propagate throughout eternity, because they are not like the church, neither marrying nor are given in marriage, because it says of his kingdom there shall be no end, and there will be no end of his subjects. And at that time, then all the sinful nature is gone, and all that are born shall be righteous. And this is something that's very interesting. It has been observed. It says concerning the new heavens and the new earth, that the kings shall bring their glory into it. And it means there is not only going to be one king, the Lord Jesus, but there are going to be other kings over dominions as well. It says concerning those of us who deserve it, be thou over 10 cities, be thou over 5 cities. And so things are going to continue like they were, but in a way that is incomprehensible to us now. And I want to bring this to your attention because it is most important about the things that are going to happen in that coming day, that you and I are going to experience an understanding in such a way that there will be no misunderstanding, and there will be no words like this. When Lazarus died, Mary and Martha both said, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother have not died. Why, O God, did you not come? Why did you wait? Why must we mourn and weep and have this sorrow?" But in the coming day, there will be a perfect understanding of what you cannot understand now. It says this, "Now we see through a glass darkly." I have the entire Word of God, but it only gives us part of the answers. It says, "Then shall we know fully, even as we are fully known." Some say that fullness came when the Word of God was completed. I can ask you 100 questions and you can't answer if you have the open Bible in your hand. There's some things you will never know until you get to heaven. And how many of you have seen the face of God? Not one of you. But I read to you, "We shall see his face." There was only one that I know of in this way that ever saw the face of God. And the face of God at that time was his tender parts, and that was Moses. He said, "What I want most of all, O God, let me see your glory. Let me see your face." And God granted unto Moses that intimacy, that glimpse that no other man on earth had ever experienced. But in that coming day, something that Moses experienced, I am going to experience in a far greater way. And then I shall have the capacity, perfectly conformed to the image of Christ, to look on the face of God in a way that even a Moses was not able to look on the face of God. Think of Isaiah in chapter 6. Think of him looking upon God and he said, "Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a nation of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King." And he was terrified and he was miserable. But in that coming day, we shall see his face, and we are not going to be afraid, and there shall be a comprehension of God and of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and of God's ways, and all the things on earth that upset us so greatly, because why, O God, why? Even in Revelation 6, those that have died for Christ, they say, "How long, O God, before you avenge and before you take vengeance on the things that were done unto us?" And in the coming day, you shall understand why the righteous suffered and the sinners escaped, and that those like Lazarus on earth endured miserable things, and those like that rich man at whose gate Lazarus sat wanting something to eat, why they had the life that they did on earth. Because the promise is this, that we know a little bit now, and by faith I can understand. That's what Hebrews 11 was written for. But in the coming day, it said, we shall know fully, even as also we were fully known. We see in a mirror darkly now, but then face to face. John writes to the elect lady, and he said, "I want to see your face." But he didn't see her face, but he sent her a letter. And now, I have not actually seen the face of God save by faith. But in that coming day, it is not going to be by faith, but it is going to be by sight. And at that time, as Christ came to earth and stayed something over 30 years, in the coming day, God shall eternally dwell with man. It said, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell among them, and he shall be their God, and they shall be his peoples." And in that ultimate day, it says, "Death shall be no more, neither sorrow, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more." And so all the things now, and one dear young girl, I used to stay with her parents in her home with my wife, and she became a nurse, and she said, "I've seen so much suffering among young children, I cannot accept God the way that I was taught to accept God." No, but in that coming day, you shall. We shall see the face of God, and then we shall understand fully, even as we were fully known. Notice that God has to explain things to us negatively. There shall be no death, no pain, no crying, no suffering. Inclement weather shall bother no more, and there will be no hunger, there will be no misunderstanding, but then shall we fully know, even as we were fully known. And what will be there? The Father and the Son, the throne of God, the Father's and the Son's throne, with the seven spirits that are around the throne. That's the way he has explained. That will be there. The river of water of life will be there. The tree of life will be there. And every tree that is pleasant to the eyes and good for food will be there, because God will outdo what we read in Genesis 1 and 2. Every tree that was pleasant for the eyes and good for food was in that Garden of Eden. Well, I can assure you that every tree that is pleasant to the eyes and good for food will also be in paradise, will be in that new heaven and new earth. And a river like earth has never seen, and water that is sparkling and bright and pure like the earth has never known, and a tree that bears 12 crops of fruit a year, and good for food, pleasant to the eyes, God will enable us to enjoy the physical things, because our body is going to be like our Savior's body. He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bone, and we'll be able to enjoy those things. And it says the leaves are for the healing of the nation. And there's so much more, but I'm glad it's 12 o'clock, and now I am permitted to stop. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for that coming day. We remember that some mockers say, where is the promise of his coming? But, our Father, eventually, you're going to come. We waited 4,000 years before the fullness of time came, and you sent forth your Son. And we've waited 2,000 years for you now, our God, for your Son to come back, and he hasn't come. But yet, a very little while, and he that cometh shall come, and shall not tarry. And until then, the just shall live by faith. We thank you, Father, for what lies before. Let us set our hope perfectly on grace that is to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as John said in that last epistle that he wrote, come, Lord Jesus. So we say this morning, come, Lord Jesus. In your Son's name we pray, Father. Amen. The meeting is over.